Hey, Jake here from the Flaming Shadow Guild, and you're listening to Guildcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to this 13th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
Pretty well. We always ask each other that, like, this is the first time we've talked in a week.
Yeah. It's the first time we've talked in 5 minutes.
Yeah. So, I'm excited about this announcement that Guild Wars gave us last night.
Yeah, that's the main topic of this one, is about personality on NPCs, and not only that, but personality on your characters as well, and talking about a little bit about karma. This has been a big question on the minds of a lot of people. Actually, you know, with the game developer questions that I gathered the last 2 weeks, and I sent out, actually, so everyone should be happy to hear that. A few of the questions actually revolved around the karma system and personality and how strongly it will play into the game. So hopefully we get a good answer on that from ArenaNet, and aside from what we will learn today from what we'll talk about on this show, should be a good show.
Yeah, now we're doing this a little bit early this week.
Yeah, we're doing this on Wednesday this week because Ruby and I will both be at Gen Con later this week. And I think it's going to be one of those things where we're not, like, I hope I get to see Ruby. Like, we're not going to be there all the same days, but maybe we'll cross paths.
We have an urgent appointment at the Waffle House Saturday morning.
Yes, that's true. It's very true.
Important.
I'm really looking forward to it. I've never been to Gen Con before. It's of course it's in Indianapolis, Indiana, and starts tomorrow, Thursday. And for anyone that's going, I mean, we don't have any kind of formal meetup set up or anything. But you know, if you see a guy with a bald head and a big beard walking around with
it's me.
Then it's Ruby. Oh. Yeah,
they're going to be accosting every bald bearded guy in the place.
I'm dressed as a Pokemon character. No, that's not true.
Oh my gosh! Again, I'll give you money to do that. Big bearded Pokemon.
So yeah, we'll be at Gen Con this weekend and this week, and so we figured we'd record a little bit early just to get out this new information. Hopefully ArenaNet does not release anything for the next week.
They're so going to. We're going to get some insane class reveal tonight.
They're going to reveal the Necro and the Mesmer at the same time, like while I'm driving to Indianapolis.
I'll be like, oh yeah, there'll be a beta date. Now, when are you leaving so I can prepare for this big news announcement?
I'm leaving tomorrow morning, so.
Okay, I'll be ready.
All right, awesome.
But for now, we have personality.
Yeah, that's right. We have the personality that's discussed in this latest ArenaNet dev blog. I guess the gist of this is to explain a little bit about how they're getting away from something that is plaguing MMOs now. And this is kind of a recurring theme we see with these dev blogs every single week. You know, they recognize the problems that are in MMOs as they've gone from, you know, being something focusing on a social community aspect to the games nowadays, which are really kind of focusing on, I don't know, I hate to say, how to make more money for the company, you know, with cash shops and things like that. I think we're kind of getting away from why MMOs started. So it's like ArenaNet, they're just looking back and saying, wait, let's start this over again. You know, why do we play MMOs? Why do we, let's get to the root of role-playing games. Role-play games because we're playing roles, and to play a role, you have to have personality, and you have to have interaction. You can't just enter a city, you know, after saving the city from total destruction and having everyone standing around in front of their doors, you know, just
with
standing there.
What happened?
Yeah, and just standing and staring straight ahead, and then only interacting with you when you talk to them and say, you know, then they're like, hey, thank you for saving our village. Would you like to see my wares? And So it goes a little bit beyond that. You know, it goes on not only based on what you've done for them and what you've done throughout your actual instanced storyline, but also you know, how you choose your personality. You know, are you a brutish barbarian or are you a saint? You know, it's just one of those things where they're kind of the reactions to you differ based on things like that. So in this dev blog, this is by Curtis Johnson. He says he's one of the designers in Guild Wars 2. And what I think is funny is at the beginning of this, he mentions Colin Johansson is mastering the Sandwichmancer profession. And we already got an email on this, which is funny, but there have been, you know, the forums like to have fun with this stuff too. Didn't you say you saw, was it somebody that emailed us about the kind of translation?
This is actually something I saw in the forums that just killed me, because, you know, we're always looking for a hint. We're always looking for, all right, what are they giving us that maybe is giving us a little clue as to the next thing? And he said, Sandwichmancer. And everybody was like, oh my gosh, Sandwichmancer. And someone decided, okay, this obviously means necro. And here's why. I'm going to have to read this verbatim, because it is just too funny. If you take the N and C from sandwich, turn the A upside down, you get an E. Take the top half of the S and turn it into an R, and use I to close the other half of the S, you get an O. Put them all together and you get necromancer.
There you go.
Obviously,
plain as day.
I am ashamed that I didn't see it before. But that was seriously... I mean, I picture this person sitting here with like a pen and paper. And all the letters written out going, all right, how can we make this work?
That is hilarious.
Because I will have my necromancer.
See, I want to play, I don't want to play a sandwichmancer. I want one in my party to just make sandwiches.
Like, you want somebody to make a sandwich?
Yeah, that would be great.
Well, we did see that happy hour board outside. I guess that was a bar in Divinity's Reach. I bet they have sandwiches.
Yeah.
But there's a sandwich mancer in there. And then you need like a Ziploc baggy mancer so you can take it with you.
Oh, that would be some technology that I think the Asura probably have.
The Asura came up with sandwich baggies 250 years after the dragons.
So I guess this blog, it continues on talking about kind of, you know, like the things, like I said, the things that are wrong now with games, you know, NPCs standing around not doing anything, not really basing their reaction to you off of anything that you've done. You know, it's kind of a default reaction they have to everyone. So they want to change that. They want to make sure that you are playing a role and that you are, you know, no matter what you choose, even at the beginning, you know, they address that issue too. If you, because we've discussed this before, if you choose a biography at the beginning, that can always change. And that is also dependent on, or at least the NPC reactions are dependent on how you've changed your personality past your biography. But karma is what plays kind of the biggest part in this. It's almost like the currency of personality. They should trademark that right there.
Currency of personality?
Yeah. what it is you can go to these NPCs, you can spend your karma points, and, you know, for certain rewards here and there. One thing they do make sure to address, though, is what if you're not one of those players who wants to do this? You know, what if you just want to play Guild Wars and just skip through all the quest text and just, you know, kill 10 of these and go back and, you know, do whatever you have to do? Well, they said that that's still possible because you can actually buy with gold. You can buy certain rewards with gold as well. And skip the whole karma point thing. So it's good that they have that option in there for people who don't really, I don't know, who don't really want to experience all of the kind of role-playing aspect of it.
Yeah, not everybody's a big fan of the fluff and all of the window dressing that comes with, and role-playing in general. It's just not everybody's thing.
Yeah.
Now, something someone commented on earlier, and I'm actually like looking for this while I'm talking, but they were basically like, you know what, I don't want to have to up my reputation or run around and suck up to all the NPCs to get the best prices. But I'm not sure, I don't think that's the direction they're going with this, because that sort of thing makes me think of DDO. When I'm playing DDO, I always have to go put on my +3 haggle necklace before I sell everything, and I have the impression that's kind of not the point of this. So I'm interested to hear more about exactly how this is going to work, and I guess what sort of exchange rate they've got going on there, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. You know, this reminds me a lot of plenty of other games, and I don't know, like, none of this, of course, has been confirmed as, you know, 100% comparable to these other games, but it just reminds me of them. You know, you have things like, even like Fallout 3, which, you know, you enter, anyone who's familiar, you know, you enter a city like Megaton, and there are NPCs that you can get to join your party if you are kind of on the good side. You know, you can be good or bad, depending on how you play the game. So you can have ones that are good join your party, and you can also have ones that are bad join your party, but either way, you're still going to get that benefit of having another person on your party. And I just feel like that's probably the way they're going to handle it. They're not going to say, if you're good throughout the whole game, you're going to get all the great benefits. They're going to say, you know, if you're good throughout the game, you're going to get this line of benefits, and if you're bad, you're going to get this line of benefits. You know, it's, I'm sure the way that they balance everything, I'm sure they're going to balance, you know, that depending on your personality. I think the main focus here on personality is that it's a way for you to play through the game again and change your personality and play through a whole different game. You know what I mean? So you can be good one time and you can come back through and be bad. Now, I don't know if that's possible on the same character. That's the part I'm confused about. Or if they're saying, like, start a new character and be bad on that second character.
Well, actually, what they did say is that if you get to a certain point and decide, you know what, I am sick of being so, you know, this is ridiculous. Why am I having to suck up to everybody? I just want to punch him in the face and move on with my life.
Yeah.
And you can start reworking your reputation and your personality as you go.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that option to change later if you decide you don't care for that.
I like that little comparison, too, where you said, you know, you just punch him in the face it's kind of a way to skip the quest text, I guess. Just
punch face.
Like, yeah, he's like, good morrow. I would like to... Oh.
Here's your bees.
Yeah, actually, that's a good thing right there to mention, that some of the specifics they talk about here, I think, are pretty interesting. You know, they say you can win over a farmer. You know, you can go to a farmer and get some strength-granting pies from him, or you can meet a local dignitary who offers to double your experience gain or boost your speed.
Yeah.
You can talk to a Norn mercenary who maybe he likes your style and he decides to follow you exclusively for a while without charging his normal fee. This is all what it says in the blog post. So it's giving you some specific examples as to how they're planning this out and how it can be applied to the game.
You know, I actually really like that. And the way that I read this, and I've just kind of been reading through everybody's reactions the past day. Somebody said, you know, so what? You don't get the good pie if you're not nice? I think he said, you know, you get like the raw liver with nasty rooster sauce. But I think what they're saying here is that you could cut straight to the chase and either, I guess, knock the farmer down and take his pie, or you could just purchase one. But the alternative is here is that you're the big nice hero guy, and he's just like, man, you know, really, thanks a lot. Thank you for doing what you do, and here's a pie.
Mm.
So I think it's all about options. It's not about these people get stuff and these people don't get anything. I think it's just about how you get it.
Yeah. And going back to other games, I can't help but think mostly about Fable. Anyone who's played Fable or Fable 2, it's kind of a predominant feature of the game is how everyone reacts to you in the world. You know, in Fable, you can be, you know, the most charming person in the world, and everyone will follow you around and want to marry you, and they'll have little rings over their heads, meaning that you can marry them because they're, you know, you've kind of gained enough quote-unquote reputation, although it's not, you know, broken down into numbers, but you've gained enough respect from them to where they, you know, really are madly in love with you, and you know they want to, you know, they keep asking you for a ring. And you can play the other side of that too, where everyone will cower in fear and run away from you as soon as you enter a town, and that's what makes, I guess that's kind of the best way to interpret what they're saying here, is the way they did in Fable. And I hope it is that extensive, because it's amazingly extensive in Fable. You know, it's one of those games where you can play, you don't even have to really do the quest, you can just have so much fun interacting with the people around you in the game, you know, the NPCs, of course. And it's another one of those things where it's almost like, you know, there's such a focus in MMOs on other players, other human players. So then I think the contrast to that is a lot of companies think, well, you know, as far as content, we're going to have personality content in our game in the form of other players. So we don't really need to do anything with the NPCs. We'll just have them stand around doing nothing. Same with the monsters. You know, if people are going to PvP, we're just going to have the monsters all stand around and do nothing. Well, I don't think that's working anymore, you know, so it's kind of time to take that next step, make the NPCs just as intelligent as the people running around, you know, who potentially could join your group. I mean, if you're going to have someone join your group who's a real player and someone who's going to join your group as a mercenary, an NPC mercenary, you know, you want it to be comparable. You know what I mean? I remember one of the first things when I first started playing MMOs was that I was like, is that a real person or is that an NPC? You know, I remember in Guild Wars, like, it was like that too, where I was like, you know, this person walking by me right now, because I didn't really realize the blue dots, you know, the difference between blue and green dots and the radar and everything, like the very first day I played. So it was a lot of like, I wonder if that's a real person. And it was very easy after, you know, a few minutes of playing to realize who was real and who wasn't. But wouldn't it be cool, though, to have it so advanced to where you really couldn't tell? You know what I mean? I think that's interesting.
Well, I think that's, we're kind of working toward that. I think we're getting there. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love that. I think that's so cool that they can do this. And I hope it's as good as we think it's going to be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and somebody pointed out in the comments on, I believe it was the post you made at Massively, but somebody pointed out and said, you know, when ArenaNet presents something like this, when they give you an example, it means they already have it in the game. You know, they've mentioned this before. It doesn't mean that this is something they're thinking about doing. This is, with ArenaNet, if they talk about it, they have it in there already. And because they're very, very, very cautious about speaking about something and not putting it in later, you know. So we can count on these things that they mention already being in there. And I'm really
Absolutely.
Excited about
that. Oh, yeah. I'm very, very excited about it. And actually, that's one of the good things about ArenaNet is that they don't put this stuff out there like, hey, this is, you know, this is something we're kind of thinking about doing, and here's what we'd love to. Wouldn't it be cool if we could do that? And that comment actually was on the Massively article. It was in response to somebody saying, you know, this sounds like a lot of hype, and, you know, I hope they can do all this stuff they're talking about. And what they were saying was, you don't understand. If they're talking about it, they've done it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is going to happen. And that's something that I actually love about ArenaNet. Mm-hmm. So they can back up what they're saying.
Yep. Well, was there anything else you want to mention about this before we get on to email?
I don't think so. I know some people, actually, I've seen a couple people saying, you know, what's the point of all this? This doesn't sound like my thing. And all it is, and they were kind of talking about the mechanics of it. You know, all this is basically a discount. But I think the whole point is immersion, not mechanics. I think it's adding personality to the game more than a cool mechanic. And I just think if you look at it from a purely technical standpoint, it's maybe not that great. It's the heart of the game is where you need to look and what's making this so cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, like, you know, we mentioned and they say in the blog post, you know, if you don't want to play this, if you don't want to take part in it, great. You know, you don't have to.
And you're not going to miss out. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. So, very cool. Well, let's move on to our email this time. We're going to make this, well, I say it now, but hopefully we'll make this a little bit of a short show because we got to get ready to head out here. We have quite a few emails this time. A lot of them are in response to last week's emails that we read on the show. But so this first one, it's from Joel. He says, Dear Sean and Ruby, NCSoft has recently put all of its titles, including ArenaNet's Guild Wars, on Steam. We know from ArenaNet's reps that the social system will be heavily reworked, but they aren't really ready to talk about that yet. That got me thinking. There is a slow but steady trend of developers hosting their games on Steam and making PC games dependent on Steam to play. Steam has a lot of benefits for developers, not the least of which is the profit margin from the games they sell. Valve's CEO said that the average developer sees about $7.50 return from a $50 retail copy sale because of all that printing, publishing, and distributing that goes into this. According to him, developers see a far greater return on the product when sold on Steam because of the removal of the printing and publishing. It's been so successful in that some games have managed to pay for their entire development completely in 1 week worth of Steam sales, and everything after becomes pure profit. Steam has a pretty robust community and social network, so do you think that Guild Wars 2 will make use of Steam, like Modern Warfare 2 and Supreme Commander 2? Warning, if you choose to talk about it on your show, be careful. Steam is heavily controversial among PC gamers, and if it isn't clear to the audience that this is pure fan speculation without any direct evidence, else there could be riots in the streets of Thunderhead Keep.
Oh, don't worry. We've learned that the hard way.
Oh, he says, that might have been before your time. Oh, no. You insult me.
Are we talking about the Monk Riots?
Yeah, actually, he probably is talking about the Monk Riots in Thunderhead Keep. That was definitely not before my time. Yeah, the thing with Steam, again, like he points out, this is pure speculation. I wouldn't put it past them if they were taking advantage of that, just because of the fact that, you know, all of the Guild Wars trilogy is now on Steam for super cheap, I might add. And a lot of people are kind of going towards that and realizing the potential power that Steam has with community building and all of that. You know, if you, for anyone who doesn't have Steam, maybe doesn't know what it is, essentially it's a way to buy games, a way to, and usually dirt cheap. It's like a digital distribution, but they have sales all the time, like 75% off games. You can get some amazing ones for like $5. It's really, really cool. So it's a way to get games, buy them, join in communities where you can set up groups, and then you can tell what your friends are playing, kind of like Raptor or X-Fire, things like that. And you all, there are also like little forums that you can have your, you know, you can set up a group and have your little group play. Guild Wars 2 Guru actually has their own Steam group, I believe. Massively has their own as well. And it's just a way to get people together. You know, what's really cool is like when you have an event, you can set up a schedule of events. Like let's say you have a guild, you set up a guild group, and you play every Thursday. You can actually, the guild leader can actually set up to announce when these guild groups are, where you're going that week, you know, what time it is, more specifics, and it'll literally pop up on the person's screen if they have Steam running in the background, which is very, very helpful. It's just, I really like Steam a lot. I know there are some people who think that it's not, well, some people think it's just not that great, but I'm a Steam believer.
Nice. I'm a fan. I actually haven't been using it that long. And I do have to point out, because I'm so bitter about this, Eye of the North is not on Steam. So The trilogy is there, but I spent like 2 days and called in 3 or 4 friends going, I cannot find Eye of the North. I know I'm missing something. Someone help me find it. It is not there. So I would love to see it. I would love to see Guild Wars 2 through Steam. Now, I'll absolutely buy the box. Mm-hmm. I'll buy the collector's edition because I will never, ever, ever stop kicking myself for not getting my hands on a collector's edition of Prophecies.
Yeah.
So I will be buying the box, but we have 4 Guild Wars players in our household right now. So we'll be doing some cheap Steam downloads too. If it's there, because ArenaNet has not said anything like that.
Yeah, that's very important to point out, that they have not acknowledged anything with Steam at all, but just the fact that they're working with Steam now in Guild Wars 1, you know, that possibility's there.
Yeah. But for now, they just need to get Eye of the North on there.
Yeah. Please. Okay, let's see. This next email, this is from Tony. He says, hey, Sean and Ruby, while listening to the Episode 12 podcast about the level 80 cap, it brought a question to my mind. Will ArenaNet have server stats for Guild Wars 2? I think it would be a great feature. I played Ion briefly when it first came out, and one of the features I liked about it was that the website had server stats. So at any time you could log on and find out what percentage of players were at what level, what class they were playing, and what faction they were. I think it would be great if Guild Wars 2 incorporates this, as it could show the percentage of players playing each race, which guild they're a part of, i.e. Vigil, Dermond, Order of Whispers, etc., which class they are, and what level they are. I also have a question concerning PAX. Will the playable demo be available to everyone? I don't want to fly 1,500 miles to PAX and not be able to play Guild Wars 2 or only get 5 minutes of playtime. Also, I'd like your input on the economy of a new online game. Will there immediately be high-priced weapons? Will people be scrambling to find the fastest money-making farm in the game? Will there be lots of standing around the auction house immediately, i.e. power trading? The reason I ask is because I didn't start playing Guild Wars until 2008 and was not able to witness how the beginning in-game economy functioned. Thanks for Guildcast, and thanks for listening to your listeners. I guess going down the line here, I'll start off, the server stats would be cool, of course. There's no denying that. A few games have that. Warhammer has that. World of Warcraft, I believe, has that. And not only the server stats, but also character stats, player stats, you know, where you can go online and see, you know, if your friend gives you his character name, you can look it up and you can see what they're wearing, you know, what they're equipped with, everything, you know. And a lot of times this plays into things like iPhone apps. You know, Lotro has a really good app like that where you can pretty much all you can do. I mean, it's nothing else beyond that, but all you can do is show your friends, you know, while you're out and about, show them your Lotro character and everything that they have on them and the stats and everything. So I'm hoping that they incorporate all this, definitely, yeah. But there
that
has been
be
no
great
word
feature.
On it. Yeah, they just haven't mentioned anything.
I hope they do soon. We want everything. We want it all right now.
We do, yeah. And you know, if it's not in there, that we're going to hear about it.
Well, after you leave.
After I leave, yes.
After you leave. I'm going to be around. We're not leaving until very, very early Saturday morning, so I'll have to catch all the fallout. Ah, now see, they're hearing that. They're going, all right, let's drop it Saturday morning. They'll all be gone.
As for his next question, he says, will PAX be playable to everyone? Well, yes, it is. It's supposed to be the second playable demo, public playable demo, the first being at Gamescom in Germany, but this will be the first U.S. public playable demo. So it will be playable. Now, the thing is, you say, will I only get 5 minutes of playtime? I imagine the line is going to be insane. You know, PAX is ArenaNet's home convention. You know, it's Seattle. It's where, you know, people go there, and you can... From every PAX I've ever been to, the ArenaNet booth has just been insanely packed. They've had, you know, artist signings, and the line has been wrapped around the booth. And I imagine a playable demo, the first playable demo of a game we've been waiting, 3 years for? Three and a half years? It's going to be insane. They're going to have, like, security there or something.
This is stressing me out so much. Just like, what if I can't get near it? What if I can't get in the line?
You're going to be like, hi, I'm Ruby Bear. Excuse me. I'm Ruby Bear. Excuse me.
Please, I'll be back there crying. My plane leaves in an hour.
Yeah, I don't know. I imagine it's going to be crazy. I would say prepare yourself for that, you know. But it is supposed to be public. It's supposed to be something that everyone can play. I don't know. I imagine maybe they'll regulate it a little bit, kind of give people time limits and say, okay, now, you know, we have to get to the next person. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
You know, my thought is the APB booth at PAX East, and I know that was on a ridiculously smaller scale, but they had, you know, people were lined up at every station, and they had a couple of guys kind of going around after a while, and it sounds like me with my kids, you've had a long turn. You need to let someone else do it now.
Yeah.
So I imagine, and I'm just completely guessing, I imagine it's going to be something like that. You know, you wait your turn in line, you get in there, you do your thing for a certain amount of time, but there are 75,000 people behind you that want to do it too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even with that APB booth at PAX East, I played it, like, as soon as the doors opened, we ran and we went to the Lotro, the turbine thing, because we had an appointment. But then after that, I went to APB, and I was actually able to play pretty quickly, but then later in the day, it was to the point where you couldn't even walk by the booth, because there were so many people around it. So yeah, I imagine, you know, it would be one of those things where if you get there early, you know, you set your mind to it, and you camp out or whatever, and, you know, as soon as those doors open, you go straight for that NCSoft booth and probably get there.
And do not get between me and the booth. It's just not a good idea.
Yeah, you. I mean, unless you want to lose a limb, really, seriously.
It's not. I'll wear the pointy heels.
So you just stab him. You won't.
I'll be stabbing on feet. Oh, so I crippled him. I crippled him.
You'll be like, I'm casting cripple on you, and you know, like.
Yeah, I'm using pin down. Yeah. On my awesome Guild Wars 2 ranger. Okay, so PAX is 30 days away, and I'm trying not to think about it because I do. I get really stressed out when I think about, what if I can't even get near the booth? What happens?
Yeah, I think you will. I hope so. Plus, we'll have an appointment, so you'll definitely get to play it.
Yeah, Serafina was talking to me about the appointment last night, and then I got stressed out again. I was like, oh my gosh. So 30 more days, you guys, and we're going to be playing Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, and then the show after that will be so much fun.
Oh,
like
my gosh.
Like we said, it'll just be squeeing.
It's just going to be me making high-pitched noises the whole time. Well, hopefully we'll have some video.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so.
That'd be great.
All right, so what's this? I'm fangirling out again. What's this guy's next question? Because it was a good one, and I wanted to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, about the economy of games that just launch. From every game I've ever played that has just launched, the economy isn't as strong as it will be even like the day after, you know, the 2 days after. You know, that first day of launch, it's going to be a lot of people, you know, trying things out, exploring. There will also be all the people in beta who already know, already planned their attack, and they'll know exactly what to do. I imagine, you know, that first week, like towards the end of that first week, there are going to be a lot of insanely priced, maybe special items, but the way they're doing it, the way you trade in points for, you know, for the special items, I don't know if that means that they're not going to be tradable, which I imagine they're not going to be tradable like that. So if they do that, if they make an item system where it's like bind on acquire, then, you know.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you think it'll be
character-bound
or maybe even account-bound?
If it is, it will tremendously help the economy. You know, not help, I guess. It'll kind
of leverage
it. It'll
keep it in line.
Yeah, yeah. So, who knows? I mean, it all really depends on stuff like that. It depends on the availability of trade. That's pretty much the biggest thing right there, you know.
Mm-hmm. So. You know, I really think the predominant thing in those early days or even weeks is going to be the race for endgame. And I don't want to say the race for 80 because I'm not sure how much of, I don't know if that's going to be the point. But I think the huge thing is going to be that race to get through as much of the game and see everything before everybody else.
Yeah, I hope that really doesn't become a focus. I mean, and also maybe they'll do like they did with Guild Wars 1 where they kind of lock off content until you, meet certain criteria in other things. You know, you can't just,
Are you thinking like in factions?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Where, you know, you can't just run through and go from start to finish, you know. So, I don't know. I mean, we'll see, but it's kind of intriguing to think of how the different ways that they've done it already, with, like you said, you know, factions versus prophecies versus Nightfall, and what they can do with it from now, you know, or for Guild Wars 2, so.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure how much of a factor the economy is going to be. I don't know. See, I wasn't around for the very beginning of Guild Wars 1. Mm-hmm. I can't get used to calling it Guild Wars 1. but when nobody has anything, you know, it kind of helps to balance that out.
Yeah.
I just think the game is so content focused that I think that is going to be, I think, again, predominantly that's going to be the thing is, everybody wants to see, I need to see all the content now.
Yeah.
And I have a very strong feeling that gear and items are going to kind of fall by the wayside at first.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Yes, I would love to see that.
Well, let's go into this next email here. This is from, this is from Ryan, the host over at Relics of War.
Oh, hey, Ryan.
And he says, what's up, pros? Says, I'm at war with a guildie and fellow community member, Hunter from Hunter's Insight. He thinks the Guild Wars 2 prequel that we're all playing should be called Guild Wars Original. This is what you just said.
Okay, and I have not seen this email.
Talking about how it's hard to call it Guild Wars 1. He says, lol much. He says, no, that's stupid. I feel like that's something Colonel Sanders has the recipe
Thank
for.
Thank you. I was sitting here going, so is this like extra crispy? Thank you, Ryan.
He says, I call it Guild Wars Classic. You guys are on my side, right? Think about
no,
it.
No, that's Coke Classic.
Yeah. Think about it. You could then also call your old Guildcast Classic. Tell me that's not choice. We have room for you on our side. And then he actually spells this out. Smiley face winky emote. And then he says, had to spell it out for the reread. Ryan. Yeah, I've been calling it Guild Wars 1. Sometimes I'll just say Guild Wars or Guild Wars 2. You know, I'll kind of distinguish them like that. I don't know. Guild Wars Classic or Original?
Well,
again,
Original is... Yes, Original is KFC. Classic is Coke Classic. And that just all ended in tears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't want to go down that road. It's plus, Guild Wars 1.
And it's making me very hungry, too.
So. I know, I want some chicken.
So, yeah, Guild Wars 1 or Guild Wars, I think. I'd be interested to hear what other people say about that, though. Wouldn't you?
I would. I'm pretty sure that they've said on the ArenaNet blog, I've seen the dev saying Guild Wars 1.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get a dev in here? Straighten this out. Please don't make us call up fried chicken things.
I'll use my my ArenaNet phone here. Just call the hotline.
Is there like, it's like shoots a big mesmer signal up in the sky, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, Guild Wars 1, I think, is the consensus here.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, next email. This is from Alex. He says, my prediction is that the prayer aspect of the dervish will be combined with the spirit aspect of the ritualist to make, like, the spirit class, although, also, I haven't watched past the fourth episode. I just started and I'm catching up. So you may have mentioned this already or may have done with class suggestions, but that's my guess. Wait a minute here. He says, your videos are so informative, and I thank you for making it easy to stay informed. Alex, I think you're getting us confused with the other...
Maybe Saberwolf?
Yeah, Saberwolf. That's his name. That's a possibility, because we don't do videos yet.
Not that you've told me. Is there something that I need to know?
Those are part of the pay package for Guildcast. Yeah. No.
I got to close my blinds. Hold on.
No, Alex actually wrote us a bunch of emails, so he might have corrected himself later. But yeah, Saberwolf is the one that does the videos over at Guild Wars 2 Guru. I don't remember the URL offhand, but we'll link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll throw it in the show notes. Saberwolf's videos are very, very well done.
Yeah, yeah. And he's a really well-loved kind of community member for Guild Wars 2, so... but yeah, now as far as your question, you know, or his prediction, I guess, is that the prayer aspect of the dervish will be combined with the spirit aspect of the ritualist to make a spirit class. I think that's pretty interesting. Kind of more, almost like the monk, you know, kind of like the spirituality of the monk combined with the dervish and the ritualist. I don't know.
You know, I could kind of see that. It doesn't feel very likely, but there's nothing I could put my finger on that says this is why. I don't know. There's nothing that I can really put my finger on that, which is a shame because it sounds so cool.
Yeah. I just think that it's going to... The ritualist is going to be used more for like a necro type thing, you know, a summoner class.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can see that. As long as I get my necro, I'm all good.
Wait, you're a necro. You already got your elementalist.
I have a necro, too. She's my secondary. You can have the mesmer. Go on. Shoo, shoo, shoo. My necro's hotter anyway.
Yeah, just keep telling yourself that.
Let's have that fight again.
Yeah. So,
okay, so
the next email here, it says, hi, I have a question for you. Do you think Guild Wars 2 will remain like the original Guild Wars in the aspect of armor? Will it be mostly a cosmetic thing, or will it be like most other MMOs where armor is a big part of the game? I know that I really kind of don't like the system currently. I definitely feel that armor should drop from monsters, and then you can just pop it on if it's better than what you currently have, or sell it or salvage it. I didn't like the system where at predetermined points in the game you could upgrade your armor, but it really didn't matter unless you were a warrior. I mean, I understand a bit that you have more room to implement a system like this. While I don't want Guild Wars 2 to be a constant looking for new armor type game like it is in World of Warcraft. I would like the occasional awesome surprise of an epic piece of armor dropping while in the middle of an event, or going through a dungeon and finally getting that weapon you have been wanting, not only for the skin, because it would really actually help you. I just want some middle ground. What are your thoughts on this? P.S. I'm a first-time listener of Guildcast and would like to say fantastic job. I really enjoyed the show. Thanks for reading this. Cool. Well, thank you for listening.
And I actually loved it. What was this guy's name? Do we have a name?
No, they didn't put a name.
Okay. I love Nameless Person's Idea. Because I am an armor fanatic. My main and my secondary, my secondaries, all my characters, have a lot of clothes. But they all serve the same function. I mostly switch them out for cosmetic reasons. And which, I mean, you know, you have more variety available in Guild Wars than that. You can ruin them up and add insignias to make them do different things.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I honestly believe that they're going to do like they've been implementing now with the costumes. Mm-hmm. This is something that's been going on for, you know, a long time with other games, LOTRO being a good example with, you know, they have a costume slot where you can kind of cover up your armor with stats with something that's a little more showy. You know, you can have a long, elegant dress on, and then underneath you have this heavy armor, you know, so that you can look a certain way for role-playing purposes, for kind of character development purposes, but you can still have the stats of the armor that you worked so hard to get, you know, even especially if you think it's ugly. I really like that because I hate to say it, but, you know, some of the armor in LOTRO is kind of ugly. So it's really cool to be able to do that with, you know, with other options. So Guild Wars has been doing this with their costume slots as well. You know, we have the Duena and Grenth costumes and some other ones, but these are ideas that I think that they're trying out in Guild Wars now because it's going to be something they're going to have in Guild Wars 2. That's just my prediction. You know, nothing has been confirmed, but I think that's what it's going to be.
Well, I absolutely can see them going in that direction. And it works for me because a lot of things that we're seeing now that have been added to Guild Wars 1 in later years have almost served as a preview to things that we've heard about being implemented in Guild Wars 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Which I love. I would love to see the ability to switch things out, just to switch armor pieces and mix and match for cosmetic reasons as much as any functional reason. I just would like to see a middle ground on that, too. Mm-hmm. And I know switching them out for cosmetics reasons, ooh, I want to wear a pretty dress, sounds so silly, but there are, I mean, you know, they're cosmetically attractive for a reason. A lot of people like that. Mm-hmm. And I really hope to see more variety and more availability.
I just hope that it's more than just a set costume, like yes, as far as, you know, all the pieces of the costume being one thing that you can get. I hope that you can kind of mix and match, which you can do, you know, with the armor now. But sometimes I think they have a lot of problems sometimes with stuff matching up. You know, they have, because you have to take in consideration every single piece of armor and how it will match up to every other piece of armor. You know,
yeah, there are some things that just do not work together.
Yeah, and not only, you know, aesthetically, but also technically. You know, they literally overlap each other in certain parts or whatever, and it causes graphic glitches or whatever. So I think that, I mean, I'm a huge, huge fan of costume slots, so I would really love to see that. Again, no word on if that's happening or not, but
yeah,
I hope so.
But it would be, I would really like to see that. I can't imagine, again, the costume slots in Guild Wars 1, we've got the Duena and Grenth, the White Mantle and Shining Blade, and oh, I really hope they come out with another one, because they're so much fun.
Yeah.
But I can't see them implementing this just within the past year and then saying, and we're done with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't imagine that.
Nope.
What a waste.
Yep. Okay, let's make this one our last email here of the show. I have quite a few more, but we're going to make this, it's not short anymore, but we'll make it on time. This one's from Aaron, and it says, Aaron. Is that,
I don't know.
Actually, I don't know if it's the same guy, but yeah. It says, hello, Sean and Ruby. I have been listening to Guildcast since episode 72. Unfortunately, I must say that I enjoyed the original series more than the current. Ouch. This isn't This isn't due to the host or the podcast changing. I actually believe that your knowledge and expertise has increased. Since the conclusion of Guildcast 1, I have been playing a lot of the PvP side of the game. I wish you would cover more some PvP content views on fight mechanics in Guild Wars 2 and current meta / skill balance. Maybe have someone do a section every month on the skill meta and MAT results. Could I have your opinions on how the removal of DP and new two-stage death system will affect GVG in Guild Wars 2, and how Guild Wars PvP won't turn into dogpile one target because he only has a weak self-heal and no prots with the removal of the monk. Thanks for your time, Aaron. P.S. If you want to hear the views of PvPers, then go to the Guild Wars 2 discussion subforum at teamquitter.com. Teamquitter.com has been around for a long time. I remember
TeamQuitter.com scares me more than all of
Yeah, it's a... Now, see, here's the thing. Okay, I'm gonna make some people mad here, but TeamQuitter.com is a perfect example of kind of what we're not going for in this show. You know, if you go over there, you'll see a lot of mom jokes and a lot of, you know, just personal insults and...
Anatomy jokes?
Yeah, anatomy jokes and you know, really crude and rude stuff that I don't really want to bring to this show at all. Now, that's not certainly not to say that PvPers equal crude, you know, because that's not the way it is at all. But as far as, you know, kind of going along with that type of thing. Now, as far as PvP, which is a completely separate issue, PvP is something that, yeah, I would love to talk more about. It's just that we haven't really heard too much about it. You know, they've been talking about world PvP. They've been talking about kind of the changes they're going to do, and we did discuss that when they talked about it, but we're pretty much going down the line every week whenever there's news and talking about it, you know. And when that time comes, when they discuss the newest aspects of PvP, you can bet we're going to talk about it. It's not that we're really cutting out any certain game type from our discussions, it's just that we're discussing the news as it comes. For us to, I think right now we're at a point where, you know, the game hasn't launched yet, we're still speculating, there's a lot of that, but we're talking about the things that are current and newly announced. Mm-hmm. So we don't, there really isn't, I hate to say, time to kind of get into anything past that. You know what I mean? To sit there and talk about, like, Guild Wars 1, or Guildcast 1, I should say. I did shows themed on different things. You know, I did, like, a Ranger show and a Necro show, and I did a PvP show, and I did, you know, an event show. And that was because there wasn't a lot of news coming out at the time. But right now, before the game launches, that's, you know, our focus is on the latest news.
Well, we're getting hammered with news. Every week there's something new, so.
Yeah, exactly. But what I'm saying is eventually I'd like to get to that point where we can focus, we can kind of slow down the news and just focus on a topic like that. Like, you know, we could certainly have a show one time where we just talk about, you know, the changes, how, you know, more specifics about how this new PvP will work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Versus just the announcements that came out regarding PvP. You know, kind of taking that one step further, that one step deeper. And that's something we definitely want to do. But like I said, this, you know, it's probably going to be after the news itself starts slowing down a little bit.
Yeah, that's going to, unfortunately, that, well, I don't know, I hate to say unfortunately, that's not going to be for a while, because we want as much new stuff as we can get our hands on. But, you know, we know we've got one more character class reveal coming, and that's going to be huge. And then Gamescom is, what, 2 weeks away?
Yeah.
Gamescom is 2 weeks out, so sometime in the next 2 weeks we've got a character class reveal. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we're going to have at least one more, not major piece of news, but fairly significant piece of news. And then we've got Gamescom, and then we've got PAX, and it just goes from there.
Yeah.
There's just, and then we have like 70 billion emails every week. There's just only so much we can fit in. And as soon as we start getting PvP news, we'll absolutely be all over that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, as far as your questions, or your specific questions about our opinions on the removal of DP and the new two-stage death system and how that will affect GVG, I don't really have an opinion on that. You know, I think another part of that, why I don't talk as much about PvP, is I'm just not a PvPer. You know, being a PvPer is very specific. You have to know what you're talking about. You have to really know the builds. You have to know, like you said, the meta. You know, you have to know the meta. You have to know flavor of the month, what works, what doesn't. That's something that I'd be very interested in hearing contributors, contribute to the show, maybe record a section on it or something like that. I mean, I did that in Guild Wars or Guildcast 1, so it's not a problem for me. But myself, you know, and I believe I speak for Ruby too, we're just not PvPers, so we can't really sit around and just kind of, you know, BS about PvP for an hour.
Right, because it will absolutely be BS.
It would be a mess.
It really would, and we would be laughed at a lot on the Team Quitter forums. But it's not, I mean, it's not anything against PvP. It's not anything wrong with PvP. But honestly, my entire PvP experience is a couple of rounds in RA where somebody whispered me and suggested that I perform oral sex on him.
Nice.
And yeah, that was awesome. He did not like me killing him. And then in our alliance, one of the guilds, D2, one of our guilds did GVG training for a couple weeks. And they convinced me to come along, and they were so nice because I was so inept. And I mean, I learned a lot, but I didn't learn nearly enough to discuss it in any sort of intelligent manner.
Yeah. I used to run Heroes runs every once in a while, quite a few years ago, and it was one of those things where you had to learn your role, you had to do your thing, and you had to, you know, man, you think about all the different kind of flavor of the month runs that they had going on for a long time. I mean, remember Iway? I mean, that was, I don't know if that might have been before your time, but that was something that was a long time ago. But it's just one of those things where you just do, you know, you rinse and repeat on these things that have to be so scientific in how they're, you know, how they're done. And that's just not me, you know. And it goes the other way, too. I'm not a role player. Like, I'm not someone who goes into character and goes in-game and talks in character. I can't do that kind of stuff either. So you don't hear us talking a lot about role-playing. I think that we cover more of a general news kind of a thing, you know what I mean? And hopefully, you know, we can get someone as to contribute maybe a segment or, I don't know about a regular thing, but, you know, a segment here and there for PvP or even role-playing or anything like that. You know, that there are so many different specifics that can be done in an MMO that, you know, we just kind of tend to focus on the kind of the middle ground, you know, the news and things like that. But.
Well, I think we will probably, as we learn more, we'll definitely be able to get more specific. We'll have the time and we'll have the information. But right now, we're just, honestly, once a week is just enough to keep up with everything coming out and do a general overview. I mean, that sounds funny, but it's true. So I hope that we can get more focused and more specific as things progress.
Yep, definitely. And believe me, if I tried to sit here and act like I knew anything about PvP, I mean, we're talking about what we know, you know. If I was like, yeah, there was a new GVG build today Rangers are playing, you know, and like it would sound so fake and so stupid, and you guys would be like, seriously, lol?
And,
it would be ugly, so I'm doing you a favor. There you go.
Really? You know, he's right. You do not want to hear us try to talk knowledgeably about PvP. It just wouldn't be pretty. You may as well just have me talk knowledgeably about EVE Online. Yeah, there was something about a ship and another guy, I think he shot him, but that's really it. I mean, that would be the PvP episode.
But I think, you know, like you mentioned, teamquitter.com, if someone wants to check out, I mean, those guys know their stuff. You know, if you have if you're not afraid of curse words and mom jokes and anatomy references, then and you're into PvP, definitely Team Quitter is the place to go. You know, that's where you'll probably learn. You'll learn a whole lot of things, but you'll also learn about PvP.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually on the Team Quitter forums now, just kind of looking, going, man, this is just, woo. We do not, okay, here are one of the rules. We do not care about whether or not you respect each other. Just make sure you keep flaming out of the recruitment center. Everything, everywhere else is ripe for e-drama. So just be warned. And that works for people, so be warned.
Yeah. I mean, we're laughing at it because it's, I don't know, because it just, you know, it gets kind of ugly, which is kind of funny sometimes. But
yeah, and that's just, you know what you're getting into, but they absolutely know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
We do not.
Well, I guess that said, we should go ahead and wrap this show up. So
yeah,
I can,
you have to pack.
Yeah, I have to edit and pack. So.
And I'll stay here and sulk because I can't come until Saturday.
We should record ourselves at the Waffle House. Just be like, with our mouths full.
We should do that. You guys email us and tell us if you want to hear us eat waffles.
No, I vote no right now.
And you're the executive. You make the executive decisions.
I say no.
Okay, that works.
So. All right. Well, I guess that's about it. So until next week. You can email at Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com, or Ruby, R-U-B-I, at guildcast.com. You can also check out our Facebook or Twitter pages, and, of course, our main website at guildcast.wordpress.com, where you can subscribe, you can leave a comment on the show notes, you can follow the links on the show notes, and you can do all kinds of crazy stuff.
Woo!
Just all kinds of crazy stuff. So I think that's about it. So until next week, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll talk to you then.